Okay, number two, what are the two divisions of Genesis that we divide the chapters up into? Chapters what and what? 1 through 11 and 12 through 50. So number two, chapters 1 through 11 of Genesis discuss four major events that were creation, fall, flood, and the Tower of Babel, or the scattering of the nations. Number three, the other chapters of Genesis, Genesis chapters 12 through 50, discuss four major people that were Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We finished Abraham last week. He died. And this week, in about two chapters of Genesis, everything that is said about Isaac is basically said. He doesn't have much of the book of Genesis. The second, number three, which book of the Bible discussed the wandering of Israel in the wilderness? Numbers. Remember, the people were numbered for battle, and then they didn't really make it. You remember now? Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you remember at least now. Two places in the books of history where David's reign is discussed are, if you want to go see what happened to David as a king, not fighting Goliath or anything, but as a king, what two places do you go to? What two books do you go to? 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. So if you wanted to know what happened to David before he was king, you would go to 1 Samuel. There's nothing before 1 Chronicles. Okay? Number five, the book of Ezra can be divided into two sections. The first section covers chapters
1-4.
A little bit longer. A little bit shorter.
1-6.
And primarily discusses whose leadership of the returning Jews. Who was the first one, Emily, that brought them back? Zerubbabel. He had to fix the rubbabel. And therefore, the second section covers chapters 7 through something. That would be an excellent answer. A more precise answer would be 7 through 10. Primarily discusses whose leadership?
Ezra.
That's the name of the book. Anybody remember when Ezra was returning to Jerusalem?
In 458.
And Zerubbabel came back in 538. So 538 and 458 are about 80 years apart. And it is a good thing to recognize that Ezra is split up into two sections that are about 80 years apart. There is one confusing part in it where Ezra is talking about Nehemiah's day, and he jumps ahead to his day, and he starts giving all the kings of Persia at that time, and it's a little bit confusing as to when he was talking, but since he was living in the present and writing about the past, he sort of combined the two in one of the chapters, and it gets a little confusing, but basically that's the idea. Number six, Solomon's reign is primarily discussed in, since he came after David, it would be in what books? 2 Chronicles and David was in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. So what comes after 2 Samuel? 1 Kings. I thought you said 2 Kings. You are correct then. 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. What chapters in 1 Kings? 1 through 11. And in 2 Chronicles it is 1 through 9. So knowing where the temple is built, if you want to read that prayer of Solomon's where he said the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain you, when our people sin and want forgiveness and they want to look back to this temple, and you want to read about Solomon's building of the temple and the prayer of dedication, you would look in 2 Kings 1 through 11 or 1 Kings 1 through 11 or 2 Chronicles 1 through 9. The giving of the law is found in Exodus, and particularly Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. It's a good idea to know where the Ten Commandments are. In which book of the Bible tells the nation of Israel how to approach God with sacrifices? Yes, Leviticus. Okay, so it's a good thing to know which books of the Bible help us to know certain things. Okay, the brain burner is particularly maybe more useful after we look at the lesson, but let's go ahead and read it. It says, God is sovereign. He reigns in the heavens as well as upon the earth. Speaking of which, sidelight, rabbit trail. How many of y'all know when you're supposed to capitalize and when you're not supposed to capitalize earth? Now, these are things that come up in my business, when you're supposed to capitalize, not capitalize earth. We have long, drawn-out debates and arguments because we have to send out these tests perfect. Earth is capitalized nowadays. Didn't used to be capitalized at all in my day. But it's capitalized now when it refers to the planet and does not have an article. If it refers to the ground, it's not capitalized. But if it refers to the planet, the article is not supposed to be used. So it's capitalized there without the article. If I had said he reigns in the heavens and on the earth, we would have to have left earth uncapitalized. Just for your information. To make it the name of the third planet from the sun. All the other planets are capitalized, but all the other planets are named after gods. So therefore it made sense. But I guess Mother Earth is a god or goddess as well, so I don't know. It's the way it is today. Chicago Manual of Style. So be it. So let it be written, so let it be done. Yeah, well. yeah. Yeah. Just thought I'd share with you something that I learned this week. Okay, moving on, it says, he promises to cause all things to work together for good to those who love him. So how do the events of Genesis 26 and 27 show these and other attributes of God? Because what happens in Genesis 26 and 27 is not real savory. And we want to find out how these things show the character of God. You never want to read the scriptures without coming away with some understanding of who God is and how God is revealing himself. So, let us now turn to Genesis chapter 26. And I guess you can skim it. As we skim it, we are prone to make some reading errors. I know I am. But for sake of brevity here, because we don't have a lot of time, let me just ask the questions. You find the answers and tell me what it is. Isaac, in chapter 26, what location did he settle at? Gerar. It's found in Genesis 26:1 and 26:6. And he receives a blessing from God that can be divided up into three parts in chapter 26, 2 through 5. What blessing does he give to Isaac? What's one part of it? The land belongs to him. A second part of it is he will have many descendants. And the third part of it is the earth will be blessed through Isaac. Sounds exactly like the Abrahamic covenant. This is the chapter where it is clear that the Abrahamic covenant is being passed down through Isaac and not through Ishmael. It was clear before, but now it is in writing. Then we learn of Isaac's relationship with Rebekah in chapter 26, verses 7 through 11. Isaac called her what? Besides sweetie and honey pie, what did he call her? What? Yeah, he did call her beautiful, so he called her something else. His sister. Sounds a whole lot like Abraham again. Only Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. Rebekah is Isaac's, do you remember? I think it was first cousin once removed. She's a generation different than Isaac from Terah. So they're just cousins, certainly kissing cousins, but just cousins. But Isaac called her his sister. But what does Abimelech see? He's caressing his wife. He goes, man, she's not your sister. Oh, funny stuff in the Bible. And of course, our favorite version for this particular account, where it says, verse 8, it came about when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and he saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife. Our favorite version, of course, is the King James Version, or the New King James Version, where it says Isaac was sporking with his wife. He was playing games with his wife in a very romantic kind of way. That's pretty hilarious. Hey, buddy, you're sporting with your sister. That can't be your sister. Yeah, he was sporting with his wife. And in Genesis chapter 26, and of course the same thing happens, and Abimelech gets mad at Isaac and says, man, why'd you do this? We could have become guilty, and why'd you do this? And said, because there's no fear of God in the land kind of thing, and so now Abimelech knows that Rebekah and Isaac are indeed husband and wife. In letter D, Isaac becomes wealthy. He reaped 100-fold in 1 year, and he got lots of possessions of herds and flocks. He was a very wealthy individual. Again, not saying that a person serves God for what God gives him, but there are times when God blesses and a man becomes rich. Okay, now his wells, beginning in Genesis chapter 26, verses 15 through 22. What did the Philistines do? They what? I'm sorry, I just couldn't hear you. They stopped up the wells. Nice Philistines that they are. Stopped up Isaac's wells so he couldn't get water. And he's. So what did Isaac do? What are you laughing at?
So they filled it up with herb, little
E. Yeah. They filled it up with earth, a little E, because the whole planet wouldn't fit inside itself. Very good. Okay. And Isaac does what? He dug them again. But when he began to dig what was rightfully his wells, because God told him this land was his land. I guess that'd be a Peter, Paul, and Mary song. That the herdsmen of Gerar do something. What do? Louder? They quarreled with him. They said, this water is ours. So this happened twice. Once was at a well called letter A. Verse 20, Esek. If you look in your notes, Esek means contention. Happened at another well called Sitna, which means enmity. And then finally, there came a well known as Rehoboth, which means what?
Plenty of room.
Finally, there was plenty of room for Isaac and the herdsmen of Gerar, and Isaac now had his well. Again, be thinking about how this shows the character of God and the fact that he is sovereign. Then we have Isaac at Beersheba in verses 23 through 33. What experience does Isaac have with the Lord at Beersheba? What? The Lord appeared to him, and what did the Lord say to him? He would bless his descendants for Abraham's sake. So it's sort of an exclamation point to what he had said earlier in Gerar. Now at Beersheba, God says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. What happened or what was said with Abimelech? What did Abimelech tell Isaac? He wanted to make an oath. And why did Abimelech want to make an oath with Isaac? Yeah, he didn't want Isaac to get too powerful. And his basis for making an oath was what? Yeah, he had seen that God had blessed him, and he didn't want Isaac to get too strong. So what was Abimelech's basis for making an oath with Isaac?
Because
Yeah, we've done you nothing but good. Okay, so we got in your way with a few wells. We've done you nothing but good. If you look back on verse 16, what did Abimelech say to Isaac when they were in Gerar?
Go
away from us. We've done you nothing but good. We told you to get out of here, and we bothered you with wells, and we've done you no harm. So make an oath with us, because we're a trustworthy, fine group of people. Again, think about how this touches on the character of God. So they do make an oath, and the well where they make the oath is called what? Sheba. In verse 33, what does Sheba mean? Did you say something, Emily? Oath. Some people say it also may mean seven. Maybe seven was the number of things to make an oath. But it means oath. So the city was called Beersheba, which means what? Well, of the oath. Whenever you see B-E-E-R in Hebrew, it means well. So Beersheba is the well of the oath. And that is the city that we will see repeatedly in the history of Israel. It is a place where Abimelech and Isaac make a covenant. And then Esau. Good old Esau. Yeah.
Why is Sheba or Sheba? Why is it spelled?
I cannot answer that. I will say this, that when Hebrews put words together, the original Hebrew was only consonants. So you would have seen the B, the R, the SH, and the B. And the vowels wouldn't have even been there. But a group of men came along and put vowels in there so that the Hebrews wouldn't forget how to pronounce their own language when they went into captivity. They were the Masoretes, and thus we get something called the Masoretic text, which has the little vowels underneath the consonants. Well, certain Hebrew vowels are pronounced similarly, just like in English. Our A and our O are oftentimes pronounced similarly. And then they had all kinds of rules as to when you use this vowel and when you use this vowel, and it's very complicated, and that's why I've never learned Hebrew. I get through that part of the books of Hebrew grammar, and I can't continue. It just hurts my brain too much. So I'm not entirely sure why Sheba is S-H-I-B-A-H for the name of the oath, and Beersheba for the city is spelled S-H-E-B-A, but they are basically the same Hebrew word. Okay, I noticed that too today, and that was interesting. Okay, so Esau married what? Yeah, foreign daughters, two Hittite women. Remember when Abraham looked for a wife for Isaac, he went back to his people. The Hittites are not the people of Isaac. And so Isaac and Rebekah, what was their response? They were grieved. I can see why you think that, but there's another place where Esau marries another woman to try to please his parents. Genesis 27, the deception of Jacob. Now, this one really is difficult to understand what and why certain things are going on. What condition do we find Isaac in Genesis chapter 27, 1 through 4? He's old, he's dying. What else? He's blind. He's blind, he's old, and he's dying. So what is his request? He wants what? He wants to give the blessing to Esau, so what's his request? To do what? He wants him to go hunt and prepare a nice meal. Now, Esau should know everything about a nice meal. He knows one when he sees one, right? He knows one when he wants one. Esau being a hunter and probably Isaac enjoying Esau's hunting skills, wanted a good barbecue is basically what he wanted. And we can understand that, can't we? So Isaac wants a good barbecue from his son Esau in order to bless him. What's Rebekah's plan in Genesis 25 verses 5 through 17? Disguise Jacob so that Jacob gets the blessing. Now, why does this immediately seem strange to you? Or should seem strange to you? God has already promised Jacob the blessing, and he has told Rebekah. When Rebekah wanted to know why her pregnancy was not as delightful as she thought it should be, he said, two nations are in you, and the older shall serve the younger. He has already said that the younger will receive the blessing. So what's Rebekah doing? Abraham's family had that problem, as my family and your family do at times.
Well, I know you don't like what questions, but mm-hmm.
Oh, going along with what Mr. Mummy said, if she didn't know that Jacob was supposed to receive the blessing, she may not have even tried to help God out. Because God didn't say anything, I don't need to help him out. Because I don't even know what he's trying to do. But now that I know what he's trying to do, I'm going to help him out. Jacob was her favorite, so maybe she just wanted her favorite to get the blessing. Esau was Isaac's favorite, and Isaac was trying to bless Esau. So on the other hand, Isaac should have... Yeah, he should have realized that Esau wasn't going to get the blessing, but he's trying to bless Esau anyway. Poor Jacob... Again, I find this just to be funny. Poor Jacob. He has an objection. What's his objection? His brother's Harry. And Dad's going to know I'm not Esau. I don't want to do this. I'm going to get in trouble. And Dad is going to curse me instead of bless me. He's going to know I'm not Esau. We won't have the game for him. I won't sound like him. I won't feel like him. We're going to really have to depend on this guy being old and senile to get away with this, Mom. Dad's going to find out and I'm going to be cursed. So what was her solution? Yeah, put some animal fur on him, make him all hairy. And then she also, what, Joe?
I was going to say, before that, she says that the curse would be on her.
That's so weird. Her other solution is, don't worry about it, Jacob. Let the curse he pronounces on you be on me. Yeah, if Dad's going to get upset at you, let him get upset at me. So if he, I just don't understand why a mother would do this to her son, but she does. And she's a beautiful woman, but has some character issues. Be careful out there, young men. Not just teasing. No, seriously, be careful. Jacob's actions. He tells three lies. And this sort of gives you the reality that one lie breeds another. And eventually it's going to be difficult to remember all the lies you've told. It's a whole lot easier to remember the truth that is. What is his first lie?
I am Esau.
I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Verse 19. What is his second lie? What? Yeah, that God was the one who quickly helped him get the game. This is a little bit quick to go out and hunt something and bring it in, unless your mom made something for you. So now he's attributing to God his success, when what he's doing is lying and deceiving. And what's his third lie? He says, I am Esau. Same lie as the first one in verse 24. verse 22, Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him. He said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he didn't recognize him. Of course, he didn't recognize him because he's blind. Because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau, so he blessed him. And he said, are you really my son Esau? He's really doubting this, and Jacob again lies and says, I am. So Isaac's confusion. Isaac's confusion is that he hears the voice of Jacob, but he feels the hands of Esau. And then Isaac blesses him in verse 27 through 29. If you were to divide this blessing up into four areas, what areas do you see Isaac blessing now Jacob, whom he thought was Esau?
The field he blessed.
The field will be blessed? Yes, he'll have an abundant field. Fatness of the earth, abundance of grain. What's another part? People will serve him. A third part. He'll be the master of his family. His brothers and his mother's sons, I guess that would be the same thing. Hebrews like to write the same thing back to back. Will bow down to him. And the fourth part of this blessing is, curses is everyone who curses you. It sounds a whole lot like what? The Abrahamic covenant. This is a blessing from Isaac to his son. So now the truth is revealed in verses 30 through 33. What truth is found out? Two parts of the truth. One part of the truth that Isaac finds out is he blessed the wrong son. He blessed Jacob. And the other part of the truth that Isaac now realizes is Jacob was supposed to receive the blessing, not Esau. So Isaac is at first startled and then comes to the realization, yeah, this is what it's supposed to be. And what's Esau's response to his dad? He wants any blessing at all, even one. Well, you talk about the whole earth being blessed. You talk about the whole nations of the earth bowing down to you. You talk about being master of your brothers, and blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. What other blessing is there? That pretty much summed it up. Isaac doesn't have any blessing for Esau. What's Esau's response to his brother? Oh, so Isaac gives Esau a blessing, if you call it that, in verse 39. Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling. Thanks, Dad. And away from the dew of heaven from above, by your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. And it shall come about when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So you're going to fight your brother all the days of your life. So what was Esau's response to his brother? He bore a grudge and actually wanted to kill him. He said, Dad's going to die soon. Jacob and I will bury him, and then I will bury Jacob. That was Esau's thoughts. So here comes Rebecca. Rebecca never had a situation where she didn't have a plan. So she has a plan. And what's her plan for Esau? Her plan concerning Esau. What does she say about Esau? Yeah, she wants Jacob to go away, but what does she say about Esau to encourage the sending of Jacob away? Yeah, maybe she wants his anger to subside. Behold, your brother is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. But what does she say in verse 46? Her daughters-in-law are driving her nuts. These daughters of Heth, these daughters-in-law that we have that Esau married, I can't take it anymore. So where does Jacob need to go?
Laban.
Back to Laban, where she was from. Back to Haran, where Abraham's family lived. Remember, that's where Abraham left his family and went to the promised land. So she's... make some comment about Esau's wives. What does she say about Jacob? She'll have no reason left to live if Jacob does the same thing. So what does she tell Isaac? Yeah, go back. Let's send our son Jacob back to Laban. Now, is all this true? Were the daughters of Heth the wives of Esau bothering Rebecca?
Yes.
Was, should Jacob go back to Laban to get a wife? More than likely. So she's basically telling the truth here, but her concern is for Jacob's life, not for his marital bliss. Okay, so now, with that in mind, what happened in Genesis chapter 26 and 27, where do you see God in any of this? I'm not sure God's name was even mentioned often, except when he spoke to Isaac to give him the Abrahamic covenant. How does it appear that Isaac is living in Genesis 26? Well, he's wealthy. Nothing seriously wrong with being wealthy. Living like anybody else. What does he do? He's living by sight. He's afraid of Abimelech. He's making this oath concerning the wells, and in some sense, there's nothing wrong with that. But he's concerned about his own hide, so to speak. He's not really trusting God, as far as I can see, in a practical daily walk. How is his family walking in Genesis chapter 28, or 27, I should say? Same way. Does Rebekah trust God that Jacob will receive the blessing? Does Isaac want to follow God in giving Jacob the blessing? Does Jacob want to trust God that Dad can't give Esau the blessing? All Esau wants is any blessing at all. They're all living for things of this world, the pleasures of this life. And this is the family to whom God gives the Abrahamic covenant. Does that seem strange to you? It does to me. But if he'd given it to any other family, would they have been any different? No. So what does this teach us about God? He's faithful when we're not. Louder. He certainly deals in grace. This family needed a lot of grace, as this family needs a lot of grace. Where is Jacob headed? To work for Laban. What is he going to get there? Actually, two wives and two maids. What's going to happen with those two wives and two maids? They're going to fight, but eventually what's going to happen? 12 sons. Don't fully understand it, but this is God's design to bring about the 12 tribes of Israel. So in spite of the manipulations and the reasonings and the thoughts of men, God is still in control of everything that man is doing. And his plan will come to pass. So he can take what we would have to say is a highly dysfunctional family, Isaac and Rebekah's. I didn't mean my own. Isaac and Rebekah's. And use it to bring about his desired purposes. But then think of it, because I was studying this with some other people this week. think of Stephen's sermon in the book of Acts. What was his point at the end of his sermon? You always do what? Resist the Holy Spirit. And who was he talking about when he said you? The people of Israel. And when did they start resisting the Holy Spirit? When did they ever not? They never started because they never began to trust in the Holy Spirit. They always resisted. They resisted the Holy Spirit in the book of Genesis. They resisted the Holy Spirit in Egypt. They resisted the Holy Spirit coming out of Egypt. They resisted the Holy Spirit in the book of Exodus. They resisted the Holy Spirit in the book of Leviticus. Nadab and Abihu offer strange fire. They resist the Holy Spirit in the book of Numbers as they refuse to go into the promised land based upon the bad report of the 10 spies. They resist the Holy Spirit in the book of Joshua when they go in and take Jericho, but Achan hides some of the booty. They have resisted the Holy. They took along their gods from Egypt, Molech and Ra. They have never been a people that trusted God. Never. So when God sent his son, what was their response? To put him to death. Well, was that according to God's plan? Sure. How could there be a day like today with the resurrection without it? So even in the book of Genesis, we see something of what Stephen was talking about in the book of Acts. The nation of Israel was never a nation that was chosen by God because they were good. They were chosen by God because they were loved. And that's the end. Not because there was something worthy in Isaac, something worthy in Rebekah, something worthy in Jacob, or what will turn out to be Rachel or Leah or their handmaids or his 12 scoundrel sons, or the, we'll get to the book of Judges and read about all the civil wars that go on in the nation. They were never a delightful, most obedient nation, even in Genesis 26 and 27. But God rules over all, and God chose them for himself. Any comments, questions, petitions, contradictions? Suggestions? Interpretations. All right. Well, thank you for coming. Let me close this in prayer. Father, even as we were reminded this evening, your grace is amazing. That you could show kindness and blessing to a man like Isaac, to a woman like Rebekah, and even to a scoundrel like Jacob. And yet, though we can easily point the finger as we look back in history at these individuals, we must also point the finger at ourselves. For these lives are recorded to help us look in the mirror and to realize that apart from your grace, we would be no different. We thank you for your power and your might and your wisdom, that you superintend the events of mankind, that you even use the foolishness of men to accomplish the wisdom of God. And we thank you that we have a God that we can trust, and we pray that as we have your word implanted in our hearts by your Spirit, we would walk closely with you, being transformed into the image of Christ, that our lives might bring you honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.